All right, everyone. Thank you so much for enjoying the music as we got connected with our guest, yours and mine, Reverend Howard Chang. And I tell you what, it's going to be great having him with us because we get to get some insight when it comes to healing. And Reverend Howard Chang, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show, Carl.
It is truly my pleasure. And I tell you what, this is truly a necessary conversation that you and I are having because so many people have to deal with some kind of illness, some kind of affliction, whether it has to do with a physical affliction, an emotional affliction, a psychological affliction, you name it. It comes, and we've got to be able to deal with it. And, of course, things can get even trickier when we bring religion into the equation because then it becomes a question of, all right, now I need to think about medicine. I need to think about what's practiced in the religion. How do I do this? How do I put this together? You're going to help us make sense of it all, and I'm so glad of that. But before we go there, if you would share with us, Howard, more about your life. They've heard me address you as Reverend Howard Chang, and if you would let us know a little bit about what life was like for Howard growing up, where you were, what life was like, what challenges, what inspirations, and just walk us into that point in your life where you became ordained.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. Yeah, I actually grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area and back in the 70s. My parents were Chinese immigrants. You know, they came from China and Taiwan. So, but I was the first one of my family to be born in the States, actually. Born in Connecticut originally, but my dad took a job in San Francisco. So I grew up in East Bay, still east of San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley area. And it was not a very diverse area at the time. I think as a Chinese American, I faced a lot of bullying and discrimination and such. And then around 8 or 9 years old, I actually had psoriasis. That was diagnosed with psoriasis, which is it's a skin disease. We now know that it's an immune-related disease, so it causes inflammation on the skin and for some people on the joints. And so I got this when I was around 8 years old, around 9 years old, and it just increased the amount of attention that I got, a negative, unwanted attention from my classmates and others and even my own family for having these red, itchy plaques, lesions all over my body. So it was a big struggle, you know, just kind of growing up and going through day to day. As a teenager, I was, I think I was really depressed. Maybe even at times I thought about, you know, just what it would be like if I wasn't on this earth anymore. It's just it's a really difficult time. So it's around that time, my dad actually went through a depression as well. And he had some friends from his time in the Midwest when he came over to study. Who brought him to church, actually. And so he found the Lord Jesus at church, in a Chinese church in the Bay Area, and said, Howard, you got to come to church. And I was dead set against going to church. I thought church was just the farthest thing that I wanted, you know, to do and go to. I was facing a lot of these emotional, physical issues, pretty severe health issues. And so I tried it one day. And it was actually a pretty bad experience. I got in a fight with one of the youth, believe it or not.
Well, you mentioned psoriasis, Howard. I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of people hear that word psoriasis, and they may think, just, you know, if they don't really know what it's about, they may think, oh, just a little bit of itching here and there, but no big deal.
Yeah, you know, it affects about 2-3% of the population, so. You know, National Psoriasis Foundation quotes 8 million people in the U.S. and 125 million worldwide. A good percentage, maybe 30%, are what's considered severe. So they have over 10% of their skin is covered with sores or plaques, itchy, scaly. And it can be very uncomfortable. They can bleed and crack. They can burn, sting. A lot of people have insomnia. Actually, people with severe psoriasis, the quality of life when you do surveys is as low as people with cancer. So it really affects people on an emotional, spiritual level as well.
Well, so you got that going on. It hit you at age 8. And you mentioned that something else that you experienced as a child was bullying. And I'm curious as to the impact that the bullying itself had on you, but also what kind of support system may have been in place for you. Was this something that was unique to you? Was it something that was happening to Chinese Americans in general? And how did you deal with it?
Yeah. So my school only had two Chinese Americans or Asian Americans out of 500 or 600 as an elementary student. So it was you really stood out as a Chinese Asian, and then add in the skin part too. Which the problem with skin diseases is you can't hide them, or if you try to, it can be awkward. So at that time my parents are hardworking immigrants. They worked two jobs. My brother wasn't too helpful. He's actually maybe one of my worst enemies in a way, just sibling rivalry and all. And so I don't think we thought a lot about emotional support. We just tried to get me creams and ointments and treatments. So I think that's contributed greatly to my just feeling depressed and down and having a very low self-esteem.
And did you have to deal with that on your own, the depression and the low self-esteem? Or did you have someone to help you work through that?
Yeah, really, obviously as a teenager, teenagers go through all kinds of stuff. I have a couple of teenagers at home right now. It's hard to say what's what sometimes, but I think for me, I was shy, I was quiet, I was depressed. And it wasn't until I went to university that I started to deal with some of those emotional issues. And that's also a time that I experienced a calling to be a pastor, to be in the ministry. And I think that coincided. It was a time of healing and grace from fellow classmates who just wanted to know about my life and what I struggle with, and who listened and cared for me and prayed for me. It was a really powerful experience. Probably when I was 19 or 20. There's a lot of emotional healing happened at that time for me.
Oh, that's awesome. And so you found that spiritual connection with God and with other godly people really can contribute to emotional healing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of times when we think about physical health and we think about ailments, and for me it's a skin disease, for someone else, my daughter has mental illness, there are other things. You think of it purely in terms of the physical aspect, but the emotional and spiritual aspects are just as important. We know we're a whole person. We're not just a physical body. And so that time I needed people to care for me and listen to me. But most of all, I had to deal with God, because I was pretty angry at God at that time. And I got in trouble once and I said I needed to forgive God. Of course, from a theological standpoint, that's not true. I could not forgive God. He forgives us. But in my heart, I just felt bitterness toward God for allowing me to have this really difficult, severe chronic illness. And why didn't he heal me? And so I had to work through that question too.
And that's one thing about it. When we get to the point where we realize that God has the ability to heal, but then he does not heal someone we care about, whether it's us or someone else, a family member, a close friend, then the question can often become, just as you said, why not, God? Why not? Why not? And we can find ourselves becoming bitter, angry, resentful towards God.
Yeah, absolutely. I was reminiscing recently as I was preparing for a message, for a church, about when I was in high school. I was graduating from high school. I was going to be going to university, and the elders of the church, they took James 5, literally, where it says, elders, if anyone's sick among you, the elders of the church should gather together and pray, and, that prayer will heal that sickness. And they did that for me. They anointed me with oil. I was prayed for, and I wasn't healed. And it was difficult. It wasn't until later that I realized that God wanted to, that he still had a purpose for me in having psoriasis. I think of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, where he talks about having a thorn in his flesh.
Yes, sir.
And he prayed three times. And the Lord said, no, it's not, I'm not going to take this from you because you're a proud guy and you need to be humbled. And this is going to help you depend on me. I think that that was a powerful story for me. And one that I come back to and say, you know, God may not heal physically in this life, but there's a spiritual healing, emotional healing, and that he promises that healing one day to come. That's my hope.
That is so impressive, too, because so often people who do believe that God can and does heal us physically in particular also teach that if he doesn't heal us physically, it is simply because we're not really exercising faith in God.
But yeah, then you
and you raise a great point.
Who has more faith than Paul?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I don't think there's a single person living who has as much faith as Paul had. In fact, were it not for his writings, many of us wouldn't even understand what faith is supposed to be about. And yet God chose not to heal him, and God made it clear his decision was not to heal Paul.
Yeah, he heard Paul, and he heard his prayers, but he had a bigger purpose for him. And I've seen that happen in my life, too, where, you know, the comfort I received, it's like in 2 Corinthians 1, talks about the comfort that we see from God, that we can be a comfort for others. And it's just a powerful testimony to God's power. So that his power is made perfect in weakness.
I tell you what, I really appreciate you for having gotten to the point where recognizing that you were angry at God, bitter towards God, having maybe even feelings of hostility towards God. You recognize it, you acknowledge it rather than denying it, and move from there to allow the Spirit of God to help you forgive God. Like you say, not the way God forgives us, but just to the point where you decided, I'm no longer holding a grudge. I'm no longer going to be bitter. I'm moving on.
Yes, absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, yours and mine, Reverend Howard Chang. He and I'll be right back as we continue our discussion of prayer, medical treatment, and whatever it is that you may be suffering with in just a few.